So one thing I tried to stress when I was talking on Psalm 27 was in the verse 4 when it says, when the scripture shows that David's, you know, one desire was to dwell in the house of the Lord, you know, all the days of his life, and to inquire in his temple. And I talked about inquiring in his temple and how that means, you know, to seek truth and to seek knowledge and understanding of the word. You know, and I think someone in the Bible who really encapsulates that theme is Solomon, who is actually the son of David, you know, who's the person who wrote Psalms 27. So Solomon, you know, in the Bible, he's known for his wisdom. And when most people think of Solomon, they think of wisdom. So he's known for his wisdom in the Bible. And Solomon's dad, David, his desire was to dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire in his temple. So we can see that David, you know, having an honest and fervent desire for the Lord, is now, you know, showing or manifesting itself within Solomon. So, and that's something that's good to, you know, maybe think about or remember when you get older and, you know, potentially have your own kids, that if you want them to have a strong walk with the Lord, you need to have a strong walk with the Lord, so that, you know, you can be an example before your children, or even before you even think about relationships or anything like that. You know, make sure you have a strong relationship with the Lord first, and then he'll be able to pair you up with the right person. And then, you know, then when you have children, they'll also have that desire, and they'll be, like, inspired by it, and will one day be led by that, you know, that same desire that you have, because it'll come from the same place. You know, and I pray that, you know, your parents are also doing that, and they're doing the same thing and just trying to serve the Lord the best they can, so that you can see it and desire it too. And I pray that the church is being a good example. That's why if you ever see Brother Dale, and he dedicates a baby, he says he dedicates the entire church to also live a life before that child, so that that child can, you know, see that God is real, because he has to see it in us first. So we see that David's faith as a father had an impact on Solomon. And Solomon wrote 3 different books in the Bible. And does anyone know what those 3 books were? Well, it's a little trivia question. Can you name one of them, maybe?
Chronicles?
No, not Chronicles. No one knows any of the books that Solomon wrote? Okay, well, one of them is Proverbs. They're actually all right next to each other in the Bible. It's after Psalms, there's Proverbs. He wrote Proverbs, right after Proverbs is Ecclesiastes, right after Ecclesiastes is Song of Solomon. So they're all right next to each other.
So he wrote Solomon?
Solomon, what do you mean?
Solomon wrote Solomon.
The Song of Solomon, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's the book. Like Matthew wrote Matthew, and Mark wrote Mark, and Luke wrote Luke. Yeah. Yeah. But yes, Solomon wrote Solomon. And Proverbs is the book that I want to, you know, to take a closer look at and get into, so we can talk about that. But before we get into Proverbs, I want to read, you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, so, you know, we can get an idea of, like, the type of person that Solomon is. So 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 1. And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeah, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim, to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made. He put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither and to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered up 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Now verse 6 says that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And genuine question, how many people in this room have ever counted from 1 to 1,000? You have? You know it's a big number, right? That's a lot of offerings. 1,000 offerings is it's a lot. And but really what it didn't matter, you know, how many offerings Solomon gave. But what matters was the reason he gave them, you know, and the reason he gave so many offerings is because there was a genuine desire in his heart, you know, for God. And, you know, the same is true for, you know, me and you, that, you know, we may not be kings or queens or we might be rich, but we do have a lot to give, you know, in the service of the Lord, and what we have, we should offer unto him. So, you know, when you have, maybe you think when during the week, maybe when you have some free time, you know, are you reading your Bible? Are you studying? Are you listening to sermons, maybe? Are you listening to the right music and things like that? Things that you can offer unto God, you know, your time and your prayer life and your studying and the knowledge, you know. And God will see your offerings and your sacrifices, and he'll honor that. And God honors Solomon's offerings, you know, in the very next verse. In verse 7, he says, In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Now, those words are very powerful, you know, because God came to Solomon because of the offerings that he gave, the offering and the sacrifice and the sincerity of his heart. And God asked, you know, what shall I ask what I shall give thee? You know, and he's basically saying, you know, what do you want, Solomon? Ask what you want and I'll give it to you. And wouldn't, like, I think we'd all think that would be a great thing, you know, if God were to appear to us and say, oh, what, ask what you want and I'll give it to you. You know, ask what I shall give thee. And what we really need to realize is that God has already done that for us. Because Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. And James 4, 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. And that's actually exactly what Brother Aaron was preaching on, I think, 2 weeks ago. He said, God, Brother Aaron's been continually preaching on this. He's been preaching, you know, God is your Father, and he wants to give you what you want if you'll believe it and receive it. You know, it's the same thing he said to Solomon. It's the same thing he's saying to you. You can ask what I shall give thee. You know, he's asking you, you know, what do you want? And I'll give it to you. Just ask what you want. And if you believe it, it'll be yours. And there's plenty of scriptures that back that up. Where, you know, we know that God is offering things to us, and he wants us to have these blessings, but we have to be able to ready and able to receive them. You know, and the exact scripture that Brother Aaron preached on, James 4, verse 3, it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So the word amiss means, you know, not quite right, or inappropriate, or out of place. So when you pray, you know, if what you're asking for is inappropriate or out of line with the word, you know, then God won't give it to you, and he's not obligated to give it to you. And you know, the scripture says, you know, ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Now, something that's important to think about, you know, when you're praying for something, is like who is this glorifying? When you're praying, you want something, you're asking God for something. You know, if that prayer were to be answered, who is that going to glorify? And who does it honor? And if you ask God for the wrong thing, you know, out of a selfish desire, he's not obligated to give it to you. If you're asking for something, you know, to consume it upon your lusts, as the scripture says. Your lust or your greed, or, you know, if you covet something or you envy somebody, know, or even if, God forbid, you were to pray something bad were to happen to somebody else, you know, God is not obligated to fulfill that prayer, especially if it's out of line with the word and it's not going to glorify anyone but, you know, your own selfish desires. So those are, you know, selfish things that can, that you consume upon your lust, as the scripture said. But if you ask for the right thing and pray that, you know, in your prayer being answered, that it will glorify God in whatever you're asking for, God will then hear your prayer and give you what you need of, what you have need of. So next time you pray, just keep that in mind and think, you know, is my prayer appropriate? Is my prayer, does it line up with the word? No, does it follow what the word says, or am I asking amiss? You know, and God asked Solomon what he wanted, so it shows well, God knows the desires of our heart, so it shows what's in your heart when you know God opens things up, or something's opened up to you, or when responsibility or power is given to you, and then to see what you do with it. Like, say, when you drive a car, or when you have responsibilities that are opened up to you, you know, how do you handle that car? How do you handle that responsibility? How do you handle, you know, even people who have children, how do they handle that responsibility? All these different things, because responsibility is, you know, really more power is being given unto you. So there's, like, when you get the keys to a car, now you have, there's a lot of power that comes with being able to drive a vehicle. And if you handle that, you know, responsibly, then that shows, well, you, that shows your character. But if you get the keys to a car and you just start driving recklessly, and people get, you know, DUIs, or driving under the influence, and people are speeding and reckless driving, then that shows their character is and how they handle that responsibility, and whether or not, you know, they're ready for that. So if you ask amiss, and you ask, you know, something that's out of line, out of not according to the word, then, you know, God's not obligated to give it to you because your character isn't right. And of course, you know, the brothers have already been preaching upstairs, you know, power without character is satanic. So God's not going to give you that power if you don't have the character to handle it. So next time, you know, go and pray and ask for something, just try to remember that. Try to remember that. Don't ask amiss. You know, make sure your prayer lines up with the word. If it lines up with the word, you know, then God will hear it. And he can give it to you if you'll believe it and receive it. Because, and there's plenty of things that people ask for, like, you know, maybe if you want, like we've been, like these past few weeks, you know, we're praying for the salvation of certain people, praying for people to come back in the church. And that completely lines up with God's word. That completely lines up with, we outlined in the Bible, that God wants people to be saved, and he wants people to come to him and receive the blessings of God. So we're praying that people are saved. You know, that prayer is going to glorify God when those people come back, because then we'll just praise God even more for bringing them back. Or if you're praying, you know, for someone's healing, that's going to glorify God, because then we'll have a testimony that we can share and we can talk about, and just to know the goodness of God in the land of the living, as we talked about in Psalms 27. So just to know those things, and just to remember those things when we, you know, when we go to the Lord in prayer, and remember how important those things are, and how we just need to make sure we're lined up with the word, and then God will give us what we have need of and what we desire. And so so I guess now we're going to see the character of Solomon, because God is asking Solomon what he wants. So I guess we'll see if Solomon will ask amiss, because that's really what's going to show, you know, what's in Solomon's heart. Like when you're given a wish, it's going to show what's in your heart. So let's go to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast shewed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over all people, over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people? For who can judge thy people that is so great? Now, I hope you have that. I hope everyone here today and everyone in the church has that exact same desire. You know, Solomon says, desire. Solomon says, give me now wisdom and knowledge. Now, that's exactly what I was talking about in Psalm 27:4, when David was saying his desire was to inquire in his temple. And now Solomon's asking, you know, for the same thing. He's wanting wisdom and knowledge, and he's seeking the Lord in that way. And he could have asked for anything. He could have asked for a new car or a new house or, you know, more money or whatever. He could have asked for many things, but those things he would have asked would just be for him to consume upon his lusts, as James 4 said. All those things would just be to consume upon his lust. And actually, has anyone in here read Ecclesiastes? Read Ecclesiastes? Well, if you look at Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks many times about how, you know, there's a lot of things that in the world that he tried this and tried that, and it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. So, things like that, you know, he's tried these different things, and he's saying it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. But when he gets to the Lord is the one thing that, you know, that is fulfilling in this life. So that's what we should seek. You know, and this is the same man here. He's not going to consume it upon his lust. And those things in Ecclesiastes where he's asking for this and he does that, he's just consuming it upon his lusts. But here we see the character of Solomon, that what he really wants is, you know, wisdom and knowledge. And that's what he asks of God. And I hope we all want that of God, and hope we all ask that of God. So we see, if God honored Solomon's prayer, then, you know, he'll honor yours, if that's your desire and that's your pure desire in your heart. And you can even use the same words he used. You can say, you know, give me now wisdom and knowledge, Lord. And, you know, he'll give it to you if you believe it. So verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. So verse 11, he says, you didn't ask for wealth, honor, the life of your enemies, or even for a long life, but you ask for wisdom and knowledge. So God is saying that, you know, Solomon is not asking amiss. He's not asking to consume something upon his lusts. He's not asking, you know, for his own selfish desires. He's not just asking for, you know, something that will just satisfy him, but he's asking for something so he can have wisdom and knowledge in order to judge, you know, the people that God has given him to govern over. So just remember that in your life, and think about things like that, where if you're asking for something from God, are you asking amiss? Is what you're asking for appropriate? Does it line up with the word? Is it going to glorify God, or is it just going to glorify some selfish desire you have that you consume upon your lust? And, you know, because that prayer is not going to go very far, because that's not what God has in mind. But if you're in the mind of God, and you have the same desires, then you can ask for the right things, and not things that to consume upon your lust. So remember that when you pray and when you go to God in prayer, just remember not to ask amiss, because if you ask amiss, then you won't receive it. But he wants to give you blessings. He definitely does. And that's just a good introduction to the character of Solomon and who he is. And when God asked him, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. And he asked for wisdom and knowledge. You know, I think that's a good introduction to who Solomon is. So now, if you guys have notebooks or you want to write this down or something, there's a question for next time. You guys got a little homework. So my question to you all is, what is greatness? greatness? What is greatness? Does anyone think they have the answer right now? No? Anyone have the answer? Anyone know what greatness is? Levi?
Give me a second, let it load up.
Are you looking up the definition on Google?
You never said we couldn't.
No, that's true. I didn't say you couldn't.
The quality of being great, distinguished, or intimate.
That's great. Now, what does the Bible say greatness is? Okay, no, don't look that up. But next week, I want everyone to have a scripture or find somewhere in the Bible where it talks about greatness or something that describes what greatness is.
Yeah,
the next week, have a scripture that describes greatness or a scripture in the Bible that talks about greatness. And we'll talk about that next time. You're dismissed.